What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
All our bets for tonight will close the show about 20 minutes from now. I got bets in both basketball games. Got some hockey bets for you, some baseball bets as well. Give those out at the end of the show. But joining us right now, friend of the program, the one, the only, I gotta tell you, man, people not watching the show right now, you're missing out, because my man looks good. He's leaned out, arms looking a little bigger. The great Sal Licata, host of the Sal Licata Show on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. And this segment on You Better You Bet, sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com, progressivecommercial.com. Sal, any truth to the rumor that you attended the Met Gala earlier this week?
No, there is no truth to that rumor. You know, I didn't even know that it was like a charity event. For years, it's just like, oh, the Met Gala, how stupid is this? And I'd be ripping it, but it was a charity event. I'll tell you though, Nick, Ben Stiller went up in my book. I mean, when you're married, you know this. Unfortunately, I know this. Like, you got to sacrifice. And if you have to sacrifice game one for maybe your wife's Super Bowl, which is the Met Gala, God bless. Like, Ben Stiller, he lost that when he said, I do. He lost his Knick fan. The second you say, I do, you're losing a lot. Like, for me, I can't watch college football anymore. I love college football on Saturdays. But I said, I do. That's it. There's sacrifice. What? Friends party? Relatives this? Relatives that? Met Gala? You have to make sacrifices. Ben Stiller sacrificed game one, round two, and he was miserable doing it. Respect to a fellow married man. He went up a few notches in my book.
Here's my question for you. Now, I want to preface this by saying, I will speak for you for a moment. Sal loves his wife. Actually, like, I don't know that that's true, but I'm assuming it is. Sal loves his wife. I love my wife. Is marriage stupid?
I actually think it is. I think it's good in you like before that, like I'm sure you were the same way. I always wanted to meet somebody and get married, and you want to have that companion. And there are great things about that, clearly. I mean, Mother's Day weekend, don't get me started on that. That's a whole nother nightmare. The mother, the wife,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I can't but, wait. It's like, we need to rein in the spending. Also, like, get me this for Mother's Day.
Yeah, $30 on three cards. That, like, do I get a card from me? Is it from me to my mom because she raised me? Is it from the both of us, which is kind of BS? Yeah. You know, then one from the dog, one from the daughter, like to my wife.
I had to get a gift for my daughter's godmother.
I mean, come
get
on,
a mother.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that. I got to go back to the store now and do that. But no, we love our wives, and there are parts of married life that I absolutely love and would not trade. However, there are things about the single life, just doing as you please, whenever the hell you want, especially when it, as it pertains to sports, that's something that you sacrifice and you give up.
Let me ask you this way.
Yeah. Would you ever get married again?
Well, this implies that, like, this marriage is going to end.
But just, okay, I understand that, but just in a hypothetical world, because I thought about this. And that's how I get to the resolution of, if I would never definitively in my life ever do this again, what does that tell you about the decision at first?
I think I probably would, because it would be at a different time in your life, right? Because like, you know, you have young kids, right? Like my daughter's, and I said this earlier, just so my daughter's second birthday today. So it's like, you're limited.
Happy
right?
birthday.
Thank you very much. So like, you know, in 15 years, and I'm an old dad, man. In 15 years, I'm going to be 58.
Right.
What the hell, man? Anyway.
I know.
Like, you do it a little later, though, and then you have the freedom to kind of do what you want. So, like, maybe. But then I guess the thought would be, like, I'll just stay with my wife, and then we'll just do that when both of us are a little older.
I do think that as a parent, an older parent of young kids, right? Like, we're still learning. Even my daughter's five, but, like, I'm still adjusting.
So, how old were you when your daughter, when your first was born?
41, I guess, right? Because I'm 46,
so I was
40. She's 5 years old. Okay.
I was 40.
So, similar.
Wait, no.
Right, so,
40, about to be 41. So same age. I turn 43 okay. Next month.
Very similar. So I think that, like, marriage in itself isn't really that much different from, like, just dating. But then when you have the kid on top of that, that really changes things. So maybe when the kid gets older, then you could get back to where it kind of was before. I don't know. We're still learning as we go. All I know is this. There are some days where it's really freaking hard. And you have to make a lot of sacrifice to have a successful marriage. That's it. You know?
Do you ever think
what are we
about it? Because I did this to start the hour. Says, yeah, I was thinking a lot of it. It's my daughter's birthday today, right? Just like, I'm kind of not like the oldest dad, but I'm kind of an old dad. You're kind of an old dad also, right? For when your daughter was born. Do you ever think about, like, when she's 40, you're going to be in your 80s? I think about this a lot, and, like, it makes me sad.
I fought it in, like, the real dark landscape of it. Like, I'm probably never going to be a grandfather, right? Odds are. And I don't think we're in the
say that. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Well, I mean, what do you think the average age is in today's world? Like, I don't even think that you or I are abnormal, certainly for this industry.
I think it's going to flip. I think people are going to start getting, this generation is going to start getting married and having kids. Because here's my thought. Okay, so. Just yes or no question. Does any part of you wish that you had had kids when you were younger?
No.
See, I regret it.
But I liked my life before.
Yes, so it's not that I don't like it. Yes, of course.
Okay, but so that's the thing. So, like, I feel like at the very, even though marriage can be difficult and kids and all that stuff, but I don't feel like I left anything on the table, really. Because I wrote it out as long as I could. Whereas you look at other people who got married out of high school or, you know, 20 years old, they were having kids. Like, God, I had an extra. If you got married at 22, let's say, or 25 and had a kid, I had an extra 15 years of doing. Like, that's a long freaking time.
What do you miss the most from that life?
I miss living in the city and the unknown, not even just like the dating landscape, because even that's overblown. Like when you don't have somebody, it's harder to find somebody. You know what I mean? It's always better in your mind. Like, oh, I could go out and date. In reality, absolutely, it's not that easy. But I miss just the freedom of whatever the day would bring. Had my work schedule, which I love to do, come home to my own apartment, my own time, all of it to me. That's what I miss. I don't really have my own time. Now I'm getting woken up by the dog. I'm getting woken up by my daughter. Then I got obligations to my wife, to my family. I don't have – my me time circle is down to basically nothing. So that's what I would miss mostly. There is none. Between work, between being a dad, between being a husband, a dog father, like, I got no time for me. My time is gone. That's what I would miss most.
Do you know what I miss the most?
What?
Seriously? Getting stoned.
But can't you do that now?
I mean, you can, but, like, I'm talking – Saturday, I don't have to work. Like, firing up the bong at like 11 a.m. and just like melting into my couch the entire day, ordering food, doing nothing, and just blazing all day. I miss that. I don't do that anymore. I miss that.
Right. And this could tie it in back to sports a little bit. Like, for me, dude, I remember waking up Saturday morning during college football season like an animal, betting games from noon.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, you can still do that.
1 a.m. Well, no, but like, it was just whatever. I didn't have to shower. I'm in my gym shorts all day. I'm home in my apartment, whatever it is, living at my parents' house, betting games, wall to wall, college football, eating whatever I want, just doing nothing. That I miss. And even if I do watch it, it's never the same because there's always – something with the daughter or the dog or the wife. You know?
There's always something. that should be like, if the title of the movie were Marriage, the subtitle of the movie would be Marriage, ... There's always something.
It is always something. And then you're regretting it, saying you'd rather do it younger. No. Imagine my parents who were getting married, like their early 20s, married and having kids in their early 20s. Wow.
Yeah,
what a sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. It's like I genuinely feel like I was probably ready to have a kid when I was like 40. I would go, right. Not that I would have been a bad dad, but I don't know. I would have definitely would have been a bad husband. I don't even know if I'm a particularly good husband now. So like 10, 15 years ago, like, you know, I don't know this.
I know.
All right.
I'm definitely not. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Yes. Listen, we try our best. You ready? Marriage, .. There's always something, .. It's never enough.
That's the truth.
Honestly, it's like you feel like LeBron James against the Thunder with like Boobie Gibson and Austin Reeves. I genuinely feel so. We'll get to the Knicks in a second, but I actually want to start with this. I feel like the Mets are about to go on like a big winning streak here. Not that they're going to like make the playoffs or win the World Series or anything like that. We had Tom Verducci on the show on Monday, and I asked him about the Mets and the Phillies and the Red Sox and the Astros, just like the theme of these teams with big expectations that have fallen short. And he singled out the Mets as being like the one team where you can say this team's way too talented to keep going this way. And he said 50-50, they keep Mendoza. So look, like, they've won 3 of 4. They got rained out last night. It's the Rockies and the Angels. It's not like they're beating the Yankees and the Dodgers. But progress is progress. I kind of feel like they're about to go on a little run here. Your thoughts on your New York Metropolitans?
Here's why I can see why you're saying that. Because I look at the starting pitching and I say, okay, well, Peralta tonight, Christian Scott, who actually showed some promise last time out, McLean behind him, Holmes behind him, like every night. And then even when you have a bullpen game, every night, I feel like the starting pitching should be able to at least definitely 3 out of the 5 should be able to give them a chance. That's what's been so annoying about this. They're losing the majority of games that Nolan McLean and Freddie Peralta pitch. That can't happen. So baseline of starting pitching, keeping them in the game. Okay, fair enough. At some point, you think Bo Bichette is going to start to hit. You combine that with Soto, maybe Benj getting hot. My issues are that Lindor is nowhere near returning. They have zero power. I mean, you think Vientos is going to go on a heater? I would trade him. I just can't take the inconsistencies. I don't trust the lesser guys in the lineup. For them to be good or to get better, it's going to be the best that they have. Whether it's the starting pitchers I mentioned, whether it is Bichette, Soto, Lindor, Polanco, both Lindor and Polanco still out. If those guys don't come back and perform, then they have no chance because I just don't rely on the rest of that lineup.
Do you want to do anything on the Yankees or just awesome, or you just want to do next?
No, I think the Yankees are great, and I think they're going to get better. I mean, right? I don't know what the odds are on the Yankees to win the World Series. I thought they were going to win the division coming in. I feel even the division, forget the AL East is over. I mean, it'll be wrapped up by Memorial Day because they play the Blue Jays and the Rays coming up. So to me, it's about World Series.
But the Rays are really good, though.
Okay, I admit, I don't know anything about the Rays, right? I know their record, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. They play the Yankees coming up this weekend of the 22nd. So that is Memorial Day weekend. After they play the Blue Jays to start that week, they'll play the Rays there. They dismissed the Red Sox, toast. They dismissed the Orioles, toast. I think the Blue Jays are also toast, but the Yankees will do it head-to-head. Are the Rays a legitimate threat? Maybe. But can they really compete with the Yanks? Come on, I don't see it.
By the way, we do have some breaking news in Major League Baseball. So Carlos Correa, before last night's game for the Astros, hurt his ankle, and there was thought he might be out for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Season-ending surgery on his ankle, 6 to 8 month recovery per Chandler Rome of The Athletic and also Ken Rosenthal. So look, the Astros stink, but like Carlos Correa, obviously a really good player. Carlos Correa out for the season for the Houston Astros. That news just breaking. Go ahead.
Also, think of that from the Mets perspective. He was a guy that I was celebrating that the Mets were, they signed him. Like the report was the Mets are signing Correa.
And then he went to the Twins, right?
Yeah, well, yes, because the medicals fell through. The Mets wouldn't commit to the whatever it was, ridiculous contract. Might even been 500. Was it that? It was a big contract at the time. Medicals fall through, disappointment. He goes to the Twins, and then the Mets had to pivot. But that would have been a bad contract. Clearly, the Mets were right for not giving that one out.
My friend Sal Licata here with me on You Better You Bet on Twitter at Sal_Licata, the Sal Licata Show on YouTube and in podcast form. We'll be on WIP later this afternoon with our pals Spike Eskin, Jack Fritz, and the great Ike Reese. All right, New York Knicks. I said yesterday on the show, following the Game 1 win on Monday, I don't know that they're going to win even this series. I think they are. They could win the East. They could win the NBA title. They could lose this series. I think it's the best Knicks team of our lifetime with the ceiling that they've shown the last couple games. Where are you at right now on our New York Knicks?
Agreed with you, and I watch all your videos, and I hear it and see it, and I couldn't agree with you more. We disagree on some stuff. We see the Knicks basically the same way here. It is the most talented Knicks team that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I've said that for a while. What I've witnessed in the last four postseason games is something I don't even know how to process. Like, I've never seen it. Postseason games, even with my favorite Knicks teams of the 90s, they were always grueling battles. This is remarkable. I mean, in the history of the game, it's never happened. Three straight postseason wins of 25 or more points. 86 Celtics, the only team to do it in back-to-back games over 30 or more points. So that is historic. And I'm starting to get to the point where I could trust them. I need to see it tonight. I think the Sixers are dangerous. I thought the Sixers coming into the series were a live dog for me with all the weapons that they have. If Embiid can stay healthy, that's the biggest if in the game. Tonight's going to show me, Nick, because if how many times have we seen the Knicks fail in the first two games of a series at home, either game one or game two?
You can't say, like, if you're a big Knicks fan, you can't say that, like, you're super like, you can't be stunned if they lose this game tonight, to your point.
Right, but I think a lot of the younger Knicks fans are starting to get to that point where they've already put the Knicks in the finals, and I understand why. The path is there. It certainly looked better with the Pistons on the verge of getting bounced by the Magic. Now, all of a sudden, Detroit looking better. But anyway, forget that. Forget the finals for a second. This series, it feels great after a 140-point win. If they lose game two, they're right back to where we were before with the Pacers a year ago, the Hawks round one, although the Hawks aren't as good as the Sixers in my mind. But still, this is an important game. Go send a message. I don't care how many they win by tonight. Win game two, and then I will say, okay, I think it's safe to say this is different with this team. I expect them to beat the Sixers in five or six games, whatever it may take, move on to the next round, and I'd like my chances. But game two, to me, tonight at the Garden, is going to be the game where it's a huge swing game as far as my confidence and trust in this team goes.
I'll disagree with that. If the Knicks lose, and it depends how they, if they lose by like 1,000 points tonight, that won't be great. Let's say they lose tonight and like the Sixers win by 5 or 6 and it's close with a couple minutes to go and the Sixers pull away and like Maxey makes a couple shots and they win the game, right? I got to come on the air and talk about it tomorrow morning, right? And I'm a couple days removed, if that happens, from saying this is, I think, the opportunity, the ceiling, to be the best Knicks team of my lifetime. I'm actually not going to be spooked if they lose tonight. Now, you lose game three like they did against Atlanta, and they're down 2-1. Now, you know, the sphincter tights a little bit. It gets a little tighter if that happens. But they lose tonight. I think Philly's really good, and it's certainly in the range of outcomes for the Sixers to win tonight. So if the Knicks lose tonight's game, unless they lose by 30, I'm not going to come on the air tomorrow and be like, well, now they suck. And I'm not insinuating that's what you'll do. Just that I think more needs to happen for my belief to be shaken that they're going to the finals.
No, but if my trust was not great coming into this series, to the degree where if I had to, gun to my head, I was going to pick the Sixers in a long series in this series.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because all the stuff that you mentioned, I think that they're very dangerous. I think that I don't trust Mike Brown, and I can't trust the Knicks to be consistent because I haven't seen it from them. So if you see it in game two, then it starts to get uh-oh for me. Not that they can't win the series, and not that I wouldn't trust Brunson to lead them to bounce back or have a long series, but it would be a battle that they shouldn't even be in. If the Knicks play their A game, the Sixers can't touch them, as dangerous as they could be. So it would take the Knicks to play less than their A game to come down to the Sixers' level. And if you do that right out of the gate in a series again, and then thinking about championship aspirations, I'd start to maybe have some doubts not only about this series, but also about what they could do against Detroit and certainly in the finals. In my mind, put it this way, maybe they can't do a ton of harm, but if they win this game in somewhat convincing fashion, I think they could do a lot more good in my mind and say, okay, it's safe to fully go all in and love this team and trust them, and I'm not going to get hurt by it, certainly not in the second round.
So we only have about like 60 to 90 seconds left here. Actually, I'm like, I don't know what I want because there's so many things we could possibly do here. You know what? I'll ask you this. So did you see what happened with Framber Valdez last night with the Tigers and A.J. Hinch?
Yeah, I didn't see the comments. I saw Valdez drilled somebody, right?
Yeah, so Valdez gives up back-to-back homers. It was kind of like when Benitez drilled. It's kind of like a similar thing. Tino Martinez back in the day. So right in the Valdez back, gives up two bombs, drills Trevor Story, benches clear. AJ Hinch after the game is like, basically throws Valdez under the bus. Basically, he did it on purpose. That's not exactly how he said it. That's basically what he said. And Hinch is like, we play a certain brand of baseball here. Now, I know you're not a Yankee fan. Do you find any of this to be ironic, given that he was the manager of the, like, confirmed, like, admitted cheater, Houston Astros, in 30 seconds?
So what, saying that he's trying to be like above that? Yeah, I mean,
well, I think this guy has the temerity to say we play a certain brand of baseball here, buddy. Like, you were the manager of a team that banged on trash cans and cheated to win a World Series.
That's a fair point. I would look at it more from the aspect of, dude, how are you throwing your guy under the bus? Like, I just think that that's a bad look to do that for a manager. I'm not saying you can't get on him behind closed doors, but to throw him under the bus like that, yeah, to boot when you were the manager of the cheating Astros, I could see why you would have an issue with that. And that, by the way, that's why I wouldn't sign Valdez. He's a loose cannon, man. The stuff with crossing up the catcher, throwing at the catcher on purpose, I would not touch Framber Valdez. So good luck.
You're right. He's a crazy person. You're right. And it's compare and contrast with Aaron Boone, who like Jazz Chisholm could like shoot somebody on the head, like on the mound during a game, and Boone would get up there in the post game press conference and be like, "Yeah, you know, I thought Jazzy was on his game tonight. We got all the trust in the world. He'll be great." Sal, you're the best. Sal Licata Show on YouTube and in podcast form on Twitter at Sal_Licata. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Nick.
My friend Sal Licata joining us here on the show. Quick break on the other side. All our bets for tonight to wrap up the Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet.
Aaron Rodgers still hasn't decided if he's returning.
I thought at this point we would have known by now that he was going to play.
If the future Hall of Famer walks away, the Steelers will turn to a quarterback competition featuring Drew Aller, Will Howard, and Mason Rudolph. Not the plan, but is it their future? Westwood One Sports.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Fisher Investments, we may seem like other money managers, but we're different.
What makes you so different than the rest of us?
We ensure clients receive unparalleled service at every step of the relationship.
Tell me more.
Our investment counselors focus on service over sales, prioritizing clients' needs.
How do you make money?
We don't sell any commission-based products. We have a simple management fee based on the value of our clients' portfolio. So we do better when our clients do better.
What about client portfolios?
We get to know each client, their finances, family, health, lifestyle, and more. And then we tailor a portfolio based on their specific goals and needs.
Your clients really come first then, huh?
Yes. We make them a top priority. Our goal is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Wow. Maybe we are different.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.